This is The Cutting Room Floor, with your hosts, Eric and Alex. The Cutting Room Floor features discussions that contain spoilers. Listener discretion is advised.
I'm not following you.
Burns' suit!
Huh?
Look at Burns' suit! Yeesh!
I had an idea, Chief. Why don't we check out that suit Burns was wearing when he got shot?
Did you have the same backwards talking dream with the flaming cards?
I'll drive.
Hi, welcome back to The Cutting Room Floor. I'm Eric.
And I'm Alex.
Have you ever rewatched a movie and noticed something that blew your mind? A subtle character trait that revealed that character in particular was the killer in the first 5 minutes, or perhaps something in the background that gives away the twist ending. In this episode, we will be discussing movies that have hidden clues spread throughout them.
So the kind of, impetus of what prompted us to do this episode was I don't remember what episode it was. It was a few episodes back.
We were talking about, overrated movies.
That's what it was. Yeah, and we started we went on a total side tangent.
Yeah.
That ended up getting cut, but we thought that it was a cool discussion, and so we're just going to play the audio from that where we talked about The Departed and then The Sixth Sense.
Apparently in The Departed, every single character who dies either walks in front of an X or has an X somewhere in the background.
Oh, interesting.
Near them. When, like, the most famous one is, like, when Leonardo DiCaprio's character dies in the elevator. The elevator's under construction, and there's, like, some black tape right behind his head.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm like...
The one that jumps out to me from that is The Sixth Sense.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime there's a sequence where there's a person coming back from the dead, there's red. Oh. Red shows up. So I remember, like, there's the part where he's at that birthday party.
And the red balloon.
The red balloon, yeah. And then when, what's Bruce Willis's character's name? I don't remember. But anyway, he's listening to, I'm just getting chills thinking about it. He's listening to the tape.
Yeah.
And he goes out, like, also on the tape, he steps out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
And then the tape just keeps going.
Yeah.
And he turns the tape up. And when he gets to 10...
The 10 is red.
Yeah, it's been colored red. So we each took some notes down on some different movies with kind of different hidden messages or things that you notice when you watch them again. I think that it's just worth repeating, though, even though we have it at the head of, like, every show, this is, like, major spoilers for any movie you haven't seen. So fair warning.
This movie is, I would say, probably in my top five favorite movies of all time. This is one of those movies I saw 7 times in the theater because I just loved it that much. This movie is Inception.
Yeah.
The first hidden clue, I didn't know about this until I read about it somewhere or someone told me. Everyone says, oh, well, the spinning top, that's Cobb's, Leonardo DiCaprio's character's totem. No, it's not.
Right.
That's his wife's totem.
Right, and he says that in the movie.
Yeah.
But you kind of just get the feeling that he adopted it.
He adopted it, yeah.
But, yeah.
So, this theory that we both heard about was his totem is not the top, it's his wedding ring. And after I heard this, I went back and rewatched the movie.
Right.
Holy smokes.
Right.
When you're looking for that.
Yeah.
To tell what is reality and what is a dream. To me, I mean, I already love this movie already, but it's like, when you're looking for that little subtle hint, it makes it that much more enjoyable of like, okay, where is it?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. No, it's really one of those, and the thing that I thought about it was, like, nothing has ever been said to confirm or deny that that's what it is.
Yeah. It's just a fan theory that...
But nothing ever will.
Yeah.
Because it's Chris Nolan.
Yeah.
But the thing with that is he's a very meticulous director. And so there's way that something like that is an oversight.
Oh, yeah.
So I that's the biggest thing
I think. It's not a continuity error. Oh, hey, you forgot your character's wedding ring for this scene. Yeah, right. We'll just shoot it anyways.
Right. Yeah, it's this is one of those things where if the ring is on in a scene, it's meant to be there.
Yeah.
So, and I think that gives weight to this theory.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Also with that movie, Cobb hates trains.
Oh, yeah.
On the first viewing, at the beginning when they're on the train, and he's like, yeah, I'm getting off at the next station. Well, he's so-and-so's Mr. Saito is going to be knocked out for, like, another X amount of minutes. You don't have to get off then. He's like, well, I hate trains.
Uh-huh.
It's not until later you realize that's how they get out of limbo. He causes a freight train to crush him and his wife to kill themselves and wake themselves, which is why you have the freight train in the middle of that, like, busy city. And it's just something that I caught. He's like, well, I hate trains. I'm like, I wonder why.
I never caught that. Now I'm going to have to watch it again just for that.
I mean, it could have been a throwaway line, but then again, this is Christopher Nolan.
Right, yeah. There's very little, I think, that is coincidence or accident with him. That's interesting. That's really cool.
Yeah,
I never caught that. So I think this is probably one that either you have on your list too, but The Prestige. Surprise, another Christopher Nolan movie.
Yep.
The big reveal in The Prestige is that Christian Bale plays both Alfred Borden and Fallon, the engineer. And the twist is that these are twins who interchangeably move between each life.
That's one of the twists.
One of them, yeah. But, well, particularly what I was thinking is there are hints throughout.
Yeah.
That Borden is more than one person.
Uh-huh.
So I mean, the final moments of the movie explain how the brothers would switch off. Borden meets the woman he'll marry, Sarah, as she attends a show with her nephew. The nephew is certain that a bird dies in the trick.
Yeah.
And he's really, really upset about it. Borden tries to make him happier and shows him the bird, says it's fine. He says, well, what about his brother?
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things that, you know, you kind of get clued in that these two identical beings are needed for the transported man trick later on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so quick. And there's a little hint, though, where, like, there's a register on his face, where there's this brief pause, and then he goes on. The other one, too, is the fluctuating relationship with Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Because at times, so the real Borden, when he's with Sarah, she says that she can tell that he loves her more than magic. Other days, he loves magic more than her, and that gives you the indication of which brother is
which
at each time. So, yeah. Really, just little subtle things. But when you watch it again, it's like...
Yeah. besides all the stuff that you mentioned about the brother...
Oh, I'm sure there's stuff I missed, yeah.
There's the line, there's a couple lines at the beginning, like, they're even doing this before they even split off.
Yes, that's correct.
Like, Cutter's, Michael Caine's character, you know, I don't get it. Sometimes you're, like, really spot on with your trick, and other times it's like...
It's like the first time he's done it or something.
It's like the first time you've ever done it. Like,
right.
What's the deal, you know? And then when Angier's character, when Julia dies...
Right.
...at the funeral, he's just like, hey, which knot did you tie?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know? It's because...
Right. The wrong brother. Right.
Angier can clone himself.
Right. Yes.
And there are so many hints. Like, when I first... The opening shot is the identical top hats in a field.
Right.
And when I first thought it was like... I didn't know nothing about the movie, you know?
Right,
I was
right,
like,
right.
Okay. I thought it was like, oh, maybe it's a bunch of like... Magicians are like, we've had enough of the trade, you know, when they're tossing their hot hats away
right.
or something.
I'm through with this.
So, yeah, upon second watching this, the opening scene, which coincidentally is the ending scene
right.
of the whole movie, there are identical birds. Mm-hmm. There's like 20 of them.
Right.
All in these little cages.
Right.
As Michael Caine's doing his little, like, here's how a magic trick works.
Right,
you know,
yes.
Like, so
are
there's
you watching closely.
Yep. Then there's that. Such a good movie.
Mm-hmm. It's so dark though. It's kind of a hard film to watch.
Yeah, it is.
But it's good.
It's a good, like, I like the movie a lot, but it's, yeah, there's a lot of people who I know who are like, oh, I hated that movie. It was just all about revenge. And
right.
But it was such an interesting, such an interesting, like, Victorian science fiction-y, like, thing.
Right.
Another film that I thought of was the M. Night Shyamalan film Unbreakable.
Okay.
It's like one of the coolest comic book movies that's not actually based on an actual comic book. So going along like we did with Sixth Sense with the use of colors.
Right.
There is a scene in this when Bruce Willis's character, he's kind of starting to believe, okay, maybe I do have this like super strength or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I can die, but I can't, you know, at the same time. Basically, he discovers that his kryptonite is his water.
Okay.
But like,
I knew I shouldn't have had that 64-ounce bottle of water before going into a fight. Why?
No, but so he's starting to believe.
Hello.
I wasn't injured in that car accident.
Dave.
I've never been injured, Elijah. What am I supposed to do?
Go to where people are. You won't have to look very long. It's all right to be afraid, David. Because this part won't be like a comic book. Real life doesn't fit into little boxes that were drawn for it.
Okay, so in this scene, on color, it's this really kind of muted Central Station-esque, like,
okay,
just tons of people are everywhere.
Okay.
But every single time someone comes by who has a crime, they're in a brightly colored shirt or
thing.
Like,
so they just really stand out.
Yeah, they just really stand out. Like, there's a woman in a red jacket who bumps into Bruce Willis's character. Then it cuts to a flashback of, like, she shoplifts something.
Okay.
And then the crimes just get steadily worse and worse and worse. And then it continues on. You know, he eventually goes after, like, the worst perpetrator of them all. The guy, Elijah, never shakes David's hand until the very final scene. Okay. He always has gloves on because he's like, well, I could break my hand really easily.
Right.
So he finally takes his gloves off in the very final scene, and he actually shakes Bruce Willis's hand. No gloves or anything, and then he's able to see. Holy smokes.
This guy is just
terrible.
This
guy is a criminal mastermind. Right. Yeah, he's a horrible, horrible person.
Huh. So, Arrested Development. This show is really known for, like, its layering and leveling of jokes. There are, like, callbacks to little moments that happened episodes or, like, seasons ago that just kind of run throughout the series. And so sometimes the jokes are just set up and then you get the payoff way later. So one of these is when Buster loses his hand.
Yeah.
So there are several jokes throughout different episodes where it's alluded to that he's going to lose his hand.
Uh-huh.
So there's one where he takes refuge with their housekeeper, Lupe.
Okay.
He ends up going, he mistakenly gets in the car with them and thinks that he's traveled to Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And so he, anyway, he ends up in the garage with her family. And the garage is, like, loaded with things that Lucille just didn't want anymore that she's just, like, shuffled off to Lupe.
Uh-huh.
And one of them is one of those ridiculous hand chairs. And Buster's like, I used to have one just like this. And then Ron Howard's narrator's like, that was Buster's chair, you know? Yeah. But he's, like, sitting in it. He's like, oh, I never thought I could miss a hand so much. Well, then later on, he gets his hand bit off by a seal. So there's that. And then there's another one where he's sitting on a bench. It was kind of when the Army was doing those Army of One, that kind of campaign.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, the way that things are set up on the bench to block out, it says something like one arm. And it's Buster that's sitting there, you know? So there's just little hints that he's going to lose his hand. So
okay.
But yeah, that one. There's so many jokes in that show though that are just so layered and little clues that they leave throughout. So
while you were talking about Arrested Development, I mm-hmm. thought of another comedy show.
Okay.
That has little hints and or gags or callbacks mm-hmm. to later episodes. A little show called Futurama.
Yeah, that's true.
We both know how Fry ends up frozen.
Yes.
When I started rewatching this show with my wife, because mm-hmm. she's never seen it.
Okay.
I was looking when he's sitting there, yay, thanks for another, mm-hmm. here's to another crappy millennium or right. whatever. You can see in the pilot episode, Nibbler's shadow.
Yep.
And I was like, holy crap!
Yeah. They also alter that too later on because there's a version of it where what if Nibbler, or like what if he didn't fall in?
Yeah.
And Nibbler's shadow's not there.
Uh-huh.
But then it comes back where he does fall in and then the shadow's there again. You know, it's just like, what? There's a lot of attention to detail
yeah.
that way.
And so that's the most biggest one. But then, of course, there's the... Oh, great. A lesson in history from Mr. I'm My Own Grandfather. So...
Roswell the Endswell.
Because Fry did that when they went back in time... And because his brain cells are so stupid that he would do that, in a later episode, when everyone is turning stupid because of this alien race,
right.
it doesn't affect
right.
him. And these other races who are trying to stop this evil race, they're like, why did you choose me? Well, Fry, it's because you went back in time and you slept with your own grandmother.
right.
And... Yeah, it's just like, oh, okay.
Oh, it's classic.
And of course, there's the part where he, quote unquote, dies and you have like all his old flings.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So there's like, there's Michelle, there's the gross hooker lady, there's one of the Amazonian women,
uh-huh.
There's the bureaucrat.
Oh,
that he hooked up with.
Yeah.
And then there's the radiator
oh, God.
That he makes out with when he's like, oh, it's like several episodes before. I think it's in the same season, but it's several episodes before where they're at some beauty pageant and Fry's like, I just made out with that radiator chick from the radiator planet. And Leela's like, Fry, that's a radiator. So yeah, then when it goes to the funeral, all of them, including the radiator, are there to mourn him.
And I'm sure there are other callbacks and stuff.
Oh, there's so many of them, yeah. Because unlike The Simpsons, which has maybe what you would call a loose continuity.
Yeah.
Futurama really does have a thorough storyline.
Which is why I love it more than The Simpsons.
Right, yeah. Yeah, because I mean it has, events that happen before affect things.
Yeah, it's like...
In later episodes.
Yeah, it's like... Season 5. Oh, yeah, remember this episode back in season 1?
Right.
Here's the fallout of that or whatever, right. you know, and yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, yeah, but that was pretty good. I just love it after he makes out with the radiator. He's like, I gotta go see a doctor or something because he, like, burned his tongue.
Oh, God. Terrible.
It really is. Oh, but it's great. Well, that'll do it for this time. Our next episode, we're going to talk about bad video game adaptations. We do an episode on good video game adaptations, but nothing's happened. So.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to talk about next time, and we will look forward to seeing you then.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to The Cutting Room Floor. Please subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. You can email us at thecuttingroomfloorpodcast@gmail.com.